Coming up on AI Having a Clue.
We've got the latest news from the wild world of AI. He describes it as the sharpest knife he's seen.
James takes on one of your questions.
It's better to be a fast second than a slow first.
Mm. Has he got an AI baby?
He has. He's got real children.
Oh, nice.
AI is really confident when it's wrong. And it's my big thing from this week.
Craig! Anyone seen Craig? No? Oh, he's... Right.
Oh, God.
Hello. Well, welcome. This is AI Having a Clue, brought to you with KPMG. It's the podcast exploring the wild world of AI with myself, AI novice George Butler.
AI black belt James Chandler reporting for duty.
Black belts?
Yeah.
So is this like Karate Kid vibes right here?
Fuck, I used to love the Karate Kid.
AI on, AI off.
I was thinking about that. You can't do sort of AI martial arts, can you? You were looking for some applause or a look for that joke. It was okay, it was fine.
Yeah, like a laugh or some, no, nothing.
Contact sports, AI can't do karate, can it?
Could a robot beat, you know, do karate?
Humanoid karate, you going to go and watch that? Humanoid sumo wrestling? Don't think so.
What about Avatar sumo wrestling?
No, hang on. I'm supposed to be coming up with these zany ideas. Not you're the grounded sort of, you know, naysayer on this stuff. Don't start with...
Oh, have you been to ABBA Voyage?
No, I haven't been.
You know, I'm the AI entertainment, maybe. I'm all down for that.
Who's this
no,
guy?
No. I joke, obviously, because that is using AI technology, but it's human songs. I mean, I also thought it was a bit, you know what? I don't know why I'm starting the show coming for ABBA Voyage, but I wasn't sold on it.
Really?
The holograms, they were a bit naff. You know when you play, like, this is a bit of a niche reference, but when you play FIFA, and it's like, yeah, that kind of looks like Cristiano Ronaldo. It was like, oh, that kind of looked like Bjorg.
Was there not magic? Was there not a tiny bit of magic anywhere? Because that's what a lot of people describe is...
So weirdly, when they come out, I don't want to spoil it.
No,
there's something that happens at the end,
right.
And they look like... ABBA.
Right.
But for the main content, I just think they look like video game characters. Anyway, this is not a...
Did
you see Elton John's going to be doing one as well? Once he dies, I think basically he's sold his...
Oh, well, that's a bleak start,
yeah,
isn't it?
I know, but he's sold his AI hologram rights to do a Vegas show with.
Has he?
Even though 5 years ago he said he would be rolling in his grave if after he died there was an AI version of himself. He's changed his mind.
It's always Elton John and Dua Lipa are the ones that are, you know, actively against this stuff. So.
Well, not anymore.
Oh, yeah.
It's true, though, because Elton... A few months ago, we were talking about he was moaning about it, and now, well, he's following the money, isn't he?
Cash money, baby.
He's following the money. Anyway, we get distracted. On the way today, obviously, we're covering the latest news from the world of AI. James, have you got a tease for your big thing today?
I have. Ooh. And it relates to the interview with Babis, who was the guest we had on Monday. So if you've not listened to that...
Catch up.
Press pause.
Do your homework.
Go back. Listen to Monday's episode, because the big thing this week is going to make more sense if you listen to that. It's about children and AI.
I tell you what, I have been really enjoying having a guest on every week and just learning more and more about learning more and more about different areas which AI is either changing or infiltrating or sometimes people that just really hate it. I just find it fascinating.
Yeah, it is good.
Fascinating.
And the little sponge of all this sort of stuff. I think whether you... agree or disagree with them violently, there's always something. It's like golf. If you're not a very good golfer, a round always gives you something.
Well, I look forward to hearing your big thing later on in the show.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously, a listener question coming later as well. But first, should we do the news?
Wild old week again.
Okay, we're going to start with Apple, who, as we've covered quite a lot on this show, have recently announced a huge partnership with Google.
Mm-hmm.
Over the last few years, they've been in bed with OpenAI. And for anyone that has an iPhone will know that now if you ask Siri a complicated question, it will turn to chat to try and answer it. So that's kind of a very brief history of where Apple have been. They're now suing OpenAI. So that relationship, is fair to say, is kaput.
Yeah, not looking good. An apple a day keeps OpenAI away. Well, we'll see. We'll
That's
see.
Good.
Yeah, not bad.
We'll
see what comes out of it. They've launched a federal lawsuit against OpenAI. Basically, two former employees who used to work at Apple have been accused of taking confidential company information. So I'd imagine these were engineers that worked on quite sensitive things,
taken them with them, and they've given those sensitive materials to OpenAI, where they now work. This is the whole big thing with talent, of course. Yeah. You can get top talent, but...
And that's why people are paying literally tens upon millions of pounds, like footballers' wage, Cristiano 100%. Ronaldo wages, for coders and techie people, because they hold these trade secrets. It's not just the fact that they're quite good at coding or designing.
Yeah, very, very good point. The lawsuit alleges that OpenAI has used former Apple employees to gain insight into unreleased products. This is going back as well. This isn't just with these two. Supplier relationships, how they manufacture things, and future product plans. So really, really sensitive stuff that I don't think Apple would have liked out there, especially with a rival. You know, if they sort of lose their competitive advantage. OpenAI, we should say, have strongly denied the allegations. They don't have any interest in other companies, apparently, and they're focused on building their own innovative products.
Well, you're excited about their products, aren't you?
I'm very excited. Have you seen the new ChatGPT work, which is sort of a rival to Claude Cowork? So
No. You
can set it off as an agent that's going to go into a whole computer and start to do things for you, which is going to be incredible.
Would you let ChatGPT into your computer life?
Yeah, of course. Got nothing to hide. What have you got to hide?
Oh,
I don't think it looks at Internet Explorer history or anything like that.
That's good.
You can keep it out of that stuff.
That's good.
It's a family show.
Moving quickly on, a friend of the show, Mark Zuckerberg's Meta, they launched this new tool a few days ago.
Yeah.
They've already had to pull it out of public use because of an enormous backlash. So what's gone on here? What's the tool that they launched and why have they had to take it down already?
The feature was called Muse Image, and you're right, it just lasted days before it was taken down. It basically allowed people, you can generate AI images based on content from Instagram accounts, which are public. And that's the big problem here. It could go out and kind of get anything rather than sort of, can you get permission from these people before I use it? Of course, privacy campaigners very, very unhappy with this. They accuse Meta of treating people's images as raw material for AI systems, which of course is the whole bigger debate of how these AI systems work. They see everything as fair game if it's on the internet, and they can kind of use it. Of course, this was using photos on Instagram without people's explicit consent to produce things that had a likeness to them, you know, and that's then feeding their whole AI system. Meta put their hands up on this one. They've admitted that they missed the mark and the feature came down completely.
How does a company like Meta, the size, the scale, the amount of employees, the very clever people that they have there, they didn't just miss the mark. They can't be. They couldn't have been taken by surprise at this reaction.
Well, I think this is the sort of move fast and whole break things vibe that they have. It's that sort of forgiveness later rather than seek permission.
But that is a ridiculous attitude to take when you are an organization of with the significant influence that Meta have. You know, they built these products, these platforms that are so integrated into our lives, that hold so much of our data, so much of our personal images and messages. You cannot have that go fast, build it as you go. Oh, it's not right. Oh, we'll take it down. It's irresponsible.
Well, that is that kind of Silicon Valley mantra that we come up and up against all the time. It's all about shipping code, getting the product out, and then you kind of iterate. You know, a lot of the time it doesn't have the sort of the consequences and perhaps the gravity that this one has. Anyway, I think it's the right thing to do. Put your hands up. Got it wrong. Fix it. Don't do it again.
All right. Well, talking of fixing it, they're trying to fix the old AI issue that they have in Australia. We've all got, every nation's got a bit of an issue, hasn't they? We're trying to keep up. We're trying to keep up with China. We're trying to keep up with the US. But truth, James, over in Australia, copyright is where their big battle is right now.
Yeah, and a battleground for us. The US have wrestled with it. Australia basically trying to position themselves as this major AI hub. We've talked again
and
again.
India is, the UK is, China and America, they're already there. Who isn't?
Yeah, this is sort of, you know, not quite Premier League. This is sort of, you know, championship stakes at the moment if you assume that the US and China are Premier League. Billions of dollars of investment into AI infrastructure and data centres. but there is uncertainty around some of the copyright laws in Australia, and that is holding back some of the companies. Anthropic, of course, the creator of Claude, they've come out and said that all of our investment decisions we're going to make are basically going to hinge on clearer copyright rules, i.e. we probably want you to bend a bit on the copyright rules in order to create a favourable, more favourable environment for us to operate in. So it's going to be very, very interesting. If you want to climb the AI ladder, Australia, kind of got to do it our way is what we're hearing.
I wonder what these tech companies are thinking ahead of the new Prime Minister arriving in the UK, because Starmer, I think, has been classic Starmer. He's probably sat on the fence, hasn't he, when it comes to AI.
The Metropolitan Police. The Metropolitan Police.
Not bad, not bad. I think we've seen that he's kind of gone, well, look, we don't want to completely, you know, give over to the tech companies, but also we want to encourage them to spend.
Yeah.
I've got a feeling Burnham won't sit on the fence on this one quite as much. And I do wonder whether he's going to kind of actually fall in line a bit more with protection and copyright and that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, geopolitically, it's a very different place now. If you remember, you know, we had Keir Starmer picking up the papers of Donald Trump when they fell on the floor, giving a letter from the King. At that time when we were entering into all those engagements, he was trying to woo Trump, and he thought that was the best way to kind of deal with him. You know, it's kind of come back to haunt him a little bit. What are Andy Burnham's choices, though? We don't have any sovereign AI. Europe don't either. Australia kind of scrabbling around. So you've got to look to either China or America if you want to get ahead. We've got this big AI plan. We're trying to build data centers. We're trying to build infrastructure. I mean, where else can you really look? The power lies in Silicon Valley, and that I don't really see that changing.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm sure we're going to be talking about that over the coming weeks. Very, very interesting. James, are you a Christopher Nolan fan?
Never heard of him.
He's this man, he directs films. Inception? Seen Inception?
I thought that was Spielberg.
Oppenheimer? The Dark Knight.
Batman. Yeah, that's him, isn't it?
Christopher Nolan's new movie has just hit cinemas. Have you seen The Odyssey?
I haven't seen The Odyssey. Christopher Nolan's a funny fish because for all his sort of technological brilliance in film, he doesn't own a mobile phone. He won't allow phones on his set. He's never sent an email in his life. He likes being unconnected. He thinks technology kind of gets in the way of ideas.
He like shoots on film. He's still big into IMAX.
Let me guess. He's got a hot take on AI.
Well, I think he's got quite a fair take on AI. Because they're out promoting his new film, The Odyssey, which is starring Matt Damon.
Matt Damon!
Was that your Matt Damon impression?
No, that's an impression of someone who does a Matt Damon thing.
Okay.
It's a cultural reference, doesn't matter.
Okay, it's went over my head. Matt Damon recently suggested that in filming The Odyssey, it felt to him like one of his last opportunities to make a classic, large-scale Hollywood epic, given the proliferation of AI in the media industry.
Hmm.
So Nolan's come out, hasn't he? He said that is a very defeatist view.
Oh, that people are going to continue to make big cinematic masterpieces that cost millions and millions of pounds and won't be using AI at all. Don't know about that, mate.
Well, I kind of understand his viewpoint. He's kind of said that there's a lot of AI slop out there, a lot of low-quality content flooding social media, and actually he's not kind of seen this tech be embraced enthusiastically in a way in which it's consumed by the public. And I guess his viewpoint is actually that people are going to go the opposite way and go, well, look, we've got this AI slop. It's on our devices. It's fine. But we really now appreciate even more the beautifully shot film with no CGI, using real sets and real humans and real environments. So I kind of understand what he's saying. The one thing I would say, and whilst I totally agree with Nolan and I love the man, I think he's an amazing director.
Get him to watch Fruity Love Island.
Well, I would love to see Nolan react to Fruity Love Island.
I'd watch him watching that.
I would too. But the one thing I would say is, it's all well and good Christopher Nolan being given $300-400 million to make a big movie.
Yeah.
But will the next Christopher Nolan or the next Christopher Nolan be given the budget? No. What will they do? Well, they'll probably embrace technology. So I get what he's saying, but I think it's hard to see a world in which Matt Damon isn't spot on in his viewpoint on that.
But exactly. There is room in this world. As I always say, beauty really is in the eye of the beholder.
And you think Fruitier Love Island is beauty, don't
I think it could sit beside there. Why not?
Stop, you know? Stop it, right.
Open your mind, George.
Let's move on. Let's move on from James's Floppenheimer. Oppenheimer, thank you very much.
Good.
Why is it the summer of AI price wars?
Bought one, get one free. You like that? I've got them all today.
That's great.
OpenAI and Anthropic are locked in a battle to win AI power users. Yes, power users.
What's a power user?
Not you. More like me. Me, Phil Rowley, Marcos Angelides.
Nerds.
The amazing guys from Google.
Nerds.
You know, the experts we have on
the
here.
Right, okay.
Both are expanding access to their newest, their most powerful models, and they're increasing usage limits. And the reason they want to do this is because they want to lock you into their lane so that you're not thinking, oh, I'm not quite getting what I want here, and you go somewhere else. So rather than charging you for better AI, they're actually giving you more effectively for free. It reminds me of broadband in the early 2000s, which you won't be able to recall, where basically everyone, AOL, FreeServe, Wannado, were basically saying, oh, we'll come and install it for free, we'll give you a free modem, we'll give you 6 months free. I think I got a PlayStation from someone just for signing up for a broadband thing, because they were willing to take the loss on there because you're less likely to then churn at the end of your contract and go into something else, and that's where they really make the lifetime money from you. So very, very interesting that already these LLMs are trying to lock you into their platform by giving you their power users lots of free stuff.
Like the whole kind of Amazon ecosystem mentality.
They're really good at it, yeah.
Lock you in, you don't go anywhere else, you want to stay with us.
Yeah, I doubt they make that much money on your $7.99 Prime subscription that you pay, but I guarantee, because that's not covering the delivery of things and all the rest of it, but you're kind of locked in. Amazon are brilliant at this. They can go into any market, undercut everyone, get rid of everyone else, and then they kind of own it. Yeah, past masters.
Right, this next and final story, we are recording this mere hours before the biggest England game of, I would argue, of several decades.
Yes.
In obviously England and Argentina. So this story may have aged very, very badly by the time this podcast has been released on Friday. We can't predict the future, but AI thinks it might be able to. As AI models have been asked to predict who will win the World Cup, they've come back with a split verdict on this.
Yeah. It's all, the nutshell of this story is they're absolutely useless and they know no more than you or I. Al Jazeera asked 9 leading AI models, all the ones that we know and love, to predict the outcome of the World Cup. They were using things like form, squad quality, coaching, historical performance, a whole slew of stuff. France emerged as the overall favourite. It got 5 out of the 9 predictions. Argentina received the final 4 predictions. Chat, Claude, Copilot, and Meta AI all gave it to them.
Let's just hope that AI is completely wrong and both of them are knocked out by the time this podcast has gone out.
Woohoo!
Positive mental attitudes.
Vindaloo.
That was pure mentality.
Who's that?
You could bottle that and sell it. Mentality. ChatGPT, you have no mentality.
Gary Lineker.
It was Thomas Tuchel.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So, okay, look, time will tell whether AI can correctly predict the football. We will either be very happy or very sad by the time this show comes out.
I wonder if it did it at the start of the tournament or has just done it with 4 to go.
It's a bit easier,
ridiculous.
Isn't it? A bit easier with 4 to go.
Yeah.
The
4 best teams in the world that happen to be the last 4 in the World Cup?
Shocked. I mean, I could totally imagine like Grok calling like Cape Verde to win or something. You know what I mean?
It never would have predicted that shock. It never would have predicted they would have got so far. Probably the same with Norway. So good at patterns. Not so good when there's a spoiler or there's a bit of an outlier.
Right, we'll be back.
Come on, England!
We might be out by the time this comes out. Right, we'll be back on AI Having a Clue with James's listener question and your big thing after this. James,
yo,
you love to wang on about the team you manage, don't you?
Oh, you mean my empire?
Yeah. So a question for you as a manager, in this new era of artificial intelligence, do you feel an urgency to use AI?
I think it's hard not to feel like it's a technology that we all need to be exploring. And, you know, anyone who buries their head in the sand, looking at no one in particular, will very likely be left behind.
You were looking at me. But I'm assuming there is a big difference, though, between using AI as like a little cool experiment, which we've seen on the show happen before, and then actually scaling it across an entire workforce and business.
Interestingly, KPMG have found that 65% of UK organisations are committed to AI investment regardless of a media ROI, return on investment for the uninitiated.
Oh, thank you.
So the intent is there to go big with implementation, but pulling off the execution, as we know very well, can be very hard. George, you know this. You know, Shakespeare Does AI was a complete disaster.
Hey, that almost went viral, James.
That being said, businesses could benefit from KPMG, who are here to bridge that gap. They combine strategy with powered delivery to move you from caution to confidence. It's more than just about software. It's about workforce adoption and responsible governance. KPMG helps you make the difference by ensuring AI delivers real business impact at scale. So you don't just listen to AI having a clue every week and keep up with the hype, but actually lead through it.
Although you definitely should still listen to AI having a clue every week.
Yeah, of course. Find all the resources you need at kpmg.com/UK to see how you can help your organisation scale.
We are back on AI Haven't a Clue, and it's time now for our listener question this week. You can ask James Chandler anything.
Literally anything.
Does it have to be AI related?
Ideally, yeah.
Yeah,
ideally.
No, they can't like be like, oh, I saw that, you made a really lovely banana loaf the other day. What was the recipe?
It's not Dear Deirdre. I'm not some sort of agony aunt that can sort of, you know.
I've been having trouble with my other half because I can't stop flatulating.
Ask Jack, not me. Actually, don't. It's not good. It's not good. We've heard all those stories. We've
covered enough about that. If you have a question, ideally about AI or banana loaves, and you would like to ask Mr. James Chandler, show's AI expert, well, you can ask it. Head to aihavenaclue@gmail.com. Send us your question. If your question is asked, James,
what do you get?
This
T-shirt.
Lovely jubbly. Right, hello to Craig, who James has not left his location.
Okay.
I love it when people send like old school radio interaction. People say,
"You could be a bot then."
Where do you think Craig is?
Harpenden or Welwyn Garden City.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Craig, who may be in Harpenden, may not, has asked this question. Do you think AI will ultimately become the Betamax of technology?
Oh, an old school reference.
For those who don't know...
Yes, good point.
I.e. me. Betamax?
Betamax was a home video format from the 70s. It was a Sony product, so it was when video cassettes were becoming big. It lost out to a rival, which was VHS, which people probably know, and VHS belonged to a different company called JVC, long-term sponsors of Arsenal Football Club back in the 90s, you might have known. You could record for longer on the VHSs, and they were slightly better, and anyway, people sort of forgot about Betamax. VHS won the sort of the video cassette war and went on to be established until better things like DVDs came along.
So, do you think AI will ultimately become the Betamax of technology? I mean, interesting question.
Yeah, and the Betamax story is one of these classics of a sort of a technology that was pretty good but lost out or got eclipsed by other things. So I guess the important thing to say is AI isn't like Betamax. Betamax lost out because there was a sort of a better product. But what you could see happen, maybe, is that some of the names we know now, like Claude and Gemini, ChatGPT, they could become sort of Betamaxes in time. AI is not going anywhere, but those sort of things could become a sort of a Betamax. If you look back at history, it's probably full of people who took the lead at the start, but then it fell away. BlackBerry are probably quite a good example. Other people like Nokia got overtaken. Yeah. Sort of didn't realise that Apple and Android would dominate. And all sorts of things like that. You know, mini discs.
Woolworths.
Woolworths is a good one.
Woolworths, R.I. but miss it.
Still a big one in Australia, though.
Yes.
Yeah, lovely pick and mix.
Never been, but would love to go.
So yes, you can... And niche reference, Friendster
And then Facebook came along. Friendster could have been what Facebook became. You don't know about that one either.
What about MySpace as well?
MySpace?
Yeah.
Had the
but still before my time, but
palm of the world in its hand, yeah. Didn't it? Tom still knocking around doing these are niche references. The company that is leading today, I guess the point I'm making, might not be the one that wins
yes.
in the end. And there's a lovely, I think the quote is, it's better to be a fast second than a slow first. And we know that AI, we talk about it all the time, is right at the start of this thing. Feels big to us, but, you know, it's not like everyone's using it all the time, every day, which is hard to believe, I know. The argument,
and that's very much kind of been Apple's approach to this space, right?
And they,
you know?
And they do all the time. You know, they didn't... people bemoan the fact there wasn't a USB port on the iPad. And they were thinking about cloud computing long before, rather than trying to put these things in. So they're very, very good at having this kind of horizon thing. And yes, we know Apple haven't kind of jumped into this, but arguably a really good AI Siri might be the key to everything. Because if it can connect all the things on your phone, which you use millions of times every day, that could be it. The argument to say that it won't be like Betamax at all is because it's not really, AI isn't sort of competing against another rival technology in a way, which is like Betamax and VHS. And you really have to think about AI as just this technology that's going to run through everything. So it's, I don't see a case where suddenly people are going to go, oh no, this, we're not going to use this thing and it's going to go extinct. I just think the toothpaste is out of the tube, as we like to say. So I think you're going to see maybe some winners and losers in time, and the winners in 5 years' time might not look like them today, but I'm not convinced, no, it won't be a Betamax story for this one, but lovely reference.
Yeah.
Trot down memory lane there.
Yeah, thank you, Craig, who may or may not be in Harpenden.
May or not be real. Who knows?
Don't forget, if you've got a list of questions for James, then do send it our way. AIhavingaclue@gmail.com is the place to do that.
What are we doing with Craig's T-shirt then, if he's not left a location?
Oh, we've sent it to Harpenden.
Oh, good. Just wrap around a postbox or something. George just whizzing around in his Nissan Micra.
Craig!
Just chucking.
Craig! Anyone seen Craig? No? Oh, he's... Right.
Oh, I've got a T-shirt. Good.
Right, before I set off on my adventures in Harpenden, James, have you got a big thing to share with us this week?
Yeah, I have, and it relates to that brilliant interview that we had with Babith on Monday, where we were talking lots about young people and AI and their use. And there's another bit of connected tissue with this one as well. It's a sort of weird, inverted friend of the show from Inception Point AI, but it's not Janine Wright this time. It's their VP of engineering, a guy called Alberto Fernandez.
Yeah.
He wrote a LinkedIn post, which was all about being a dad and working in AI and how those two things kind of come together.
Has he got an AI baby?
He has. He's got real children.
Oh, nice.
And the whole post was, I thought it was really, really good. It wasn't this sort of tub-thumping thing like you might expect. Like, you know, his whole world and, you know, what he does is AI, and you might think that it's going to be this incredibly positive thing. It was really, really balanced. He talked about how there's a whole bunch of things with AI that basically keep him up at night when it comes to his kids. He talked about his children in a way that some of them have difficulty around learning. Maybe there's some neurodiversity there. And he said, actually, AI as a teacher is the most patient, doesn't get tired, doesn't mind repeating things, actually works better than humans for some things. He does a little potted history as well. You know, the whole promise of social media would be that it would connect people, but it hasn't maybe perhaps done that. Yeah, TikTok's this incredible thing. It could teach you to code. It could also take you down this sort of horrible sort of rabbit hole as well. So lots of unintended consequences. AI could be the same. He describes it as the sharpest knife he's seen, as in the wrong hands. It's not great. Lots of problematic stuff that he talks about. The fact that it agrees with you all the time, like... You know, for us, that's annoying as adults, but for children, that's kind of weird because their brains aren't developed enough. Their minds are developing. They can't tell when something's like a good idea or not a good idea. So a really bad idea that AI agrees with actually becomes quite problematic. AI is really confident when it's wrong.
Yep.
Never apologizes. Yeah. Humans don't really do that. Trusted grown-ups. They don't have the experience to hear the difference or call out when it's wrong, so that's pretty problematic.
It's like a sleazy salesman.
It is a bit sleazy.
Plows through, doesn't it?
Sleazy salesman. AI, when something is created with AI, it's getting harder to tell what's reality and what's created by AI. Although I would say, based on my own children, my own seven-year-old, she is exceptionally good at spotting when stuff's AI.
Really?
I played her this thing of, I think like a capybara fell from a tree. No, a sloth fell from a tree and a capybara comes into the river and picks it up. And it's this really cute video, people going past in a boat. She's like, no, that's AI. Looks up, it was AI.
So she's just almost naturally
she's just got this
picking
thing
it
for
up.
It was absolutely incredible. But, you know, it's getting very, very hard to tell, no matter how good their thing is. And AI, of course, we know, can do all the thinking for you. So kids are not developing this kind of muscle memory, if you like, on how to do stuff. It's easier for AI to do it. He had three things which I thought were brilliant, and I'm really thinking about myself, is he's turned this whole thing of how to spot AI into a game with his kids. So there's like a leaderboard on who can spot it. And they talk about what are the hallmarks, what are the things that you notice, what kind of gave it away, what was better, you know, what's worse. They've got rules for AI. So it's not this thing that's always on. It's something that you go into, you use for a little bit, and then you come away from it. He likens it to a calculator. You don't sit on a calculator all afternoon. You use it for a purpose and then you put it down. And then he's talking about making the AI bespoke. So you give it instructions. So if you create a project in chat, you can go in and give it specific instructions for this project. And he's saying in there, you can get really creative with the tone of voice that you want it to say, whether you want it to be objective. What's the age of the person that it's talking to? You know, make things age appropriate. And just with those things, you suddenly get to, I think, a place where, you know, not suggesting for a minute that you can leave children unsupervised with AI at all, with LLMs, but you are creating some guardrails, I think, because there's no getting away from it. I don't think there's a world where you can be like, you can't use this. It would be a bit like taking someone's sort of phone away from them. And
it's also something, a technology that is it's everywhere now. It's right, you know, in the morning you wake up and, you know, young people are chatting with Alexa and asking, you know, I've seen 8-year-olds ask Alexa what the weather is going to be. And you know, it, from the start of the day to whatever technology is being used in the classroom to it's just integrated into life now. But I think it's really interesting and helpful advice there, that you almost have to remind young people that it's 100%. A tool, that it's there for you, but it's not this natural thing that is kind of part of our, you know, organic everyday life. And I suppose because, you know, you've got young kids yourself, that must be quite confusing in a way.
Yeah. And I thought it was like, again, I'm pleased that it wasn't this sort of bombastic glass over full of, God, isn't it amazing? You should be giving it to your kids and doing everything. You know, this is from someone who's, you know, doing it all the time. I sort of slightly put my tin hat on when I mention said inception point AI, because usually what I do, I'm getting pelters for it. But I thought it was really balanced, and I shared it, and lots of other people have said that it was useful as well. So some top tips if you have children over there, or maybe you want to just use them yourself as well.
Well, honestly, they could probably advice we could all take a follow. And on that note, James, thank you for that, and thank you for spending a lovely hour with me. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
It's contractual, so
it is. But we will say thank you to our fantastic producer, Molly Carter, and Team AI Having a Clue. And we'll say an even bigger thank you to you for listening, because it's not contractual. And you do so. And some people would question why, but we say thank you. And of course, if anyone else that you might know wants to find out about this wild world of AI, do share the podcast with them. You can send a review in and boost our algorithm too. Why not? We'll be back on Monday with another fantastic guest on the show, but for now we'll say thanks for hanging out with us. And James,
stay curious.
ChatGPT, you have no mentality.